Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. What a night we have in store for you here. We have got a lot to talk about in the world of soccer. And behind the glass, as always, the one and only Tyler Scott. Tyler, looking forward to a great 2 hours of the best in soccer talk here on ESPN 97.5. Fresh off the heels of the Blitz, my thanks to Fred and AJ for bringing us on and doing a little promotion of what we were going to talk about here tonight, which is a lot around Jurgen Klinsmann tonight in the U.S. national team. I'm going to want your thoughts tonight on this at 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. It's Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there. Tonight, it's all about you, the caller. I really do want to find out what you're thinking about the U.S. national team. Should Jurgen Klinsmann stay? Should Jurgen Klinsmann go? You'll get my thoughts on it. We have a roundtable tonight. Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza, Jesus Acevedo on that roundtable. Plus, I will talk to former U.S. international Marcelo Balboa coming up at 7:45. But calls tonight at 713-780-3776. So tonight I start the show off with a big shout-out to Carter Lomax Middle School in Pasadena. I went down to Carter Lomax Middle School in Pasadena this morning for a career day. Met some amazing students, teachers. So much fun down there. Great students. Sixth graders. Just kids with all intelligent and asking great questions. We had a wonderful time there. Anyway, big shout out to you down at the Carter Lomax Middle School in Pasadena. Thank you for having me down there today. And thanks to one of the teachers, Mr. Wells, who's a big soccer fan, by the way. So thank you for having me today. It was wonderful. I'm sure you're still stumbling around wondering what you watched last night in Costa Rica. This was like a Chucky 1-2-3 Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know what you want to call it, but it was a disaster in Costa Rica. 4-0 beatdown. Maybe venting will be the best recipe for self-healing tonight. I don't know, but let's talk about it. Again, 713-780-3776. Does Klinsmann stay? Does Klinsmann go? What are your thoughts on the two games, Mexico and Costa Rica? So give it to us tonight. 713-780-3776. The U.S. didn't even look like they showed up last night. Shocking how disconnected the players were. Shocking individual mistakes. Shocking lack of purpose of play. This all off the heels of a 2-1 loss to Mexico, where after the first 30 minutes, Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley came over to Jurgen Klinsmann and wanted the tactical setup switch to a 4-4-2. They did start in a 4-4-2. But it was shocking. Destroyed by a Montreal Impact sub, Johan Venegas, Christian Bolaños, Brian Ruiz, Joel Campbell, who didn't even start. Bradley and Jones, nightmare. Couldn't get any rhythm or possession. The U.S. depth proves out to not be very good. Klinsmann again playing some players in less than comfortable areas. The back four, an absolute nightmare, with the midfield in front of him, an absolute nightmare. Omar Gonzalez didn't even look like he could move, looked pedestrian. Looked like some of the players didn't even care. Do you agree with that? Tim Chandler struggled mightily. John Brooks had a disaster. What was our purpose of play last night? Now, after the Mexico game, Michael Bradley came out saying one team had a clear plan, the other team didn't. Now, I know this is all on Klinsmann. I do believe he should be moved on. It's enough. It's up and down. It's not where it should be. But what about the players? Is there accountability for the players? Because I truly believe there is a lot. How much of this is on Klinsmann? How much is this the accountability of players? What about Michael Bradley? How have his two games been? I'm going to say not very good. Is that all because of a lack of system? Can't you play in spite of a coach? Obviously not, because the team is struggling in a big way. There has to be praise for Costa Rica, but are they really world beaters? Was that because of how good Costa Rica is, or how nightmarish the U.S. was making them look good? Costa Rica tops CONCACAF now with 6 points. And yes, Klinsmann deserves huge criticism. His act is wearing thin. The progress has been limited. It's so up and down. The changing of the vision of our soccer country rhetoric is just that. Where does the accountability lie? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. How much of this is about Klinsmann? How much about the players? And how much of this is about an immature player development system in this country? 713-780-3776. Let's start it off. Phone lines are lighting up. We do want to hear from you. Bilal, what's on your mind tonight, Bilal?
Hey, Glenn, love the show, Soccer Matters.
Thank you, sir. Soccer Matters.
I wanted to say, actually, I think this is 90% on Klinsmann, and it goes back to the last World Cup when they played against Portugal, and they came back and, I think, believe won that game. I don't think they won it for him. I think they won it for themselves. And then watching them play against Mexico and watching them play against Costa Rica, it was people that sort of just gave up on the coach and no longer wanted to play for him. And like you said, they didn't earn that shield that they wear. They didn't earn that crest. It's 90 minutes and it's a fluid sport. So you should be able to have some leeway in the switching and playing your position. So I would say 10% of that is on the players and not knowing what their strengths are and adjusting to that.
You can play in spite of a coach, but I think the constant tinkering from Klinsmann and the up and down and sort of the unpredictability of him as a coach is problematic. I think defining roles for players has been such a struggle for him. I mean, why did it take so long to realize Jeff Cameron's the best center back of this team, despite what anybody in the media says? I mean, how much was that guy missed? But why mess with him as a right back, as a center back, when it was clear he was our best center back? Because nobody can come out of the middle and cover right and left laterally like Jeff Cameron. You saw it on Omar Gonzalez, the first goal, where he allows a guy to get turned on the end line, doesn't even go with him, and the guy whips a cross in and it's headed in and it's 1-0, and it's a Montreal Impact substitute, Johan Venegas, who scores. So I just think that's worn on the players. And I also do think there is some level of entitlement with some of these U.S. national team players. I don't think there's any question.
I think so, too. I think some of these players that have who we consider veterans have this entitlement that, okay, I'm going to be on the team and I'm going to be a starter and I don't have to put much effort into it. I could just sort of play half my game and preserve it and try to win out a contract for Europe. But I think that's the wrong mentality to have. I think you're not playing for a cost.
713-780-3776. Bilal, anything else you want to add here?
No. I just hope they do better in the next coming games.
All right. Thank you very much, Bilal. All right. So we're talking about it. U.S. getting smacked 4-0 by Costa Rica. This off a 2-1 loss to Mexico, where the first 30 minutes the game should have been over if Mexico had taken their chances, with Juan Carlos Osorio starting the trio of Gio de Santos, Chicharito, Carlos Vela. Mexico was clearly the better team in the first half. I gave a slight edge to the U.S. in the second half, and it was one of those games you kind of felt, okay, this is one of those typical U.S. are going to come back and win here. 713-780-3776. Couple of questions for you. Does Jurgen Klinsmann go? Is it time? Should Sunil Gulati step up and move Klinsmann on? That's one of the first thoughts. What else jumped out at you about these two performances? And put it in the context of player development in this country. Let's go to Clay. Clay, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Good, Clay. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. I unfortunately did not get to see the game because I was working last night in New York. But It's almost like every time we get a creative player, the U.S. looks at them and, you know, they start scoring goals and we're like, hey, that's great. And then Klinsmann seems to pull them on the side and seems to want to talk to them. And it's almost like we're trying to find robotic players to play a system instead of embracing what we have as athletes and creative players. And I don't know, it's kind of stifling to me that, you know, when you find these people that are creative and they're young and they're playing in the Bundesliga and stuff, that he's not really allowing them to play.
Well, he was their real only option to play through last night. They couldn't get him the ball. The few times they did, he looked kind of dangerous. Remember, he's not even 18 years old yet, Christian Pulisic, who plays for Dortmund. I think what stunned me was the fact that he didn't get a Sasha Kljestan on a little bit. The U.S. couldn't keep the ball for beans. And that's first and foremost the first problem. You can't play into your strikers if you can't keep the ball.
That's my other confusing thing. When you look at when Klinsmann played and the players that played around him when he won the World Cup and stuff, you know, and the way that he played, I don't understand why, you know, the U.S. almost looks like some ninja sitting in front of a firing squad saying, okay, I think you're going to shoot 60 rounds at me, and we're just going to dodge the bullet and hopefully get through this game with a draw and go to PKs.
Well,
like Portugal and stuff.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is you're comparing the German national team to the U.S. national team, which is an unfair comparison.
Well,
right. But for me last night, this was a game that screamed out to get a footballer on like a Kljestan or somebody that, you know, you could play through. You would hopefully get a little bit more of the ball. He'd weave a few people in because Michael Bradley and Jermaine Jones couldn't do that. Michael Bradley was dropping incredibly deep. Josie Altidore was trying to be a playmaker in midfield. I mean, this thing was all blank backwards. I mean, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And the lack of effort and living up to the moment and representing your country and all those things, incredibly disturbing, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but it is disturbing.
Right.
And it does bring and will bring bigger questions to U.S. soccer and really what the future of this country is, because 5 years with Klinsmann really hasn't elevated us, and he came in with all these big, bold promises. And listen, I was all for the Klinsmann hiring because I thought it needed to be stirred up here. Why not give somebody who's won a World Cup as a player and took a team to the semifinals a chance?
Right.
But at this point, I think...
his knowledge.
Yeah, I think
I thought we could have done more.
Well, his knowledge doesn't look great right now, and that's... I just think there's just been too much micromanaging of this team, and you know, coaches can also screw things up wonderfully. I'll tell you, if they overthink it, they can screw it up wonderfully. And I think this is a pretty off the rails train and locomotive right now. It's not a locomotive; it's putting along.
Well, what do you think our solution is then?
Well, I think the first step is obviously, you know, I would move him on. And then we have to look hard at how we're developing players in this country, where resources are being spent, because it is a very differing situation when it comes to player development as opposed to the rest of the world. Stop believing we can recreate what the rest of the world has, because we're just a very different country. So I think there's a lot of things that have to be examined. Decision makers have to be examined, players, coaches, staff. Everything. And the way the game's being played in this country has to be looked at as well. And it's not easy because there's so many fractured organizations in this country and there's so much money changing hands that it really is not an easy thing to do.
Well, I kind of wish we could do something like the NFL has done when you look back at, you know, San Francisco Giants and Green Bay Packers and stuff, and you look at the coaches that came up under, you know, those big-time coaches, and that assistant coach went on to, you know, be and make something out of other teams and win Super Bowls and stuff. I think maybe we should look at somebody that's, you know, been under Pepe or Simeone at Atletico Madrid, who's, you know, kind of taken a mixed mosh of people and made something work, or the guy that was at Leicester City, you know. I mean, it shows that with the right formula and the right, you know, confidence, if you will, that those players want to be there and can perform under him.
Clay, like your
not
points.
To compare football to football. Sorry.
I like your points. Appreciate it. Well, the guy that could take over potentially in a 4-month window here before the next qualifier could be a Tab Ramos. Clay, thank you very much for the phone call tonight.
Take care, man. Ciao.
All right. Who do we got next, Tyler? All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, what's your thoughts on the U.S. national team, Jurgen Klinsmann, and World Cup qualifying right now?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. You know, I know the history for the U.S. and Costa Rica isn't good or anything like that, you know, but, I mean, yesterday's performance was just disappointing because, I mean, everybody looked confused and didn't know what to do, and then, like, basically, like, midway through the second half, it was just kind of like, I'm just going to run around and, you know, and do nothing, you know, just play whatever, you know. And going and from, like, the previous, the two previous callers or whatever, you know, talking about the leaving, having some starters feel like they're entitled to their starter position, you know, he should shake things up. I mean, he's always talking about pace and stuff like that, and yet he benches his fastest guy and yelling, and still keeps putting in Timothy Chandler, which I understand that he's doing good things in the Bundesliga, but you know,
he's never produced for the U.S. national team. He's been a real there's been a real desire for Klinsmann to make him work and fit in, and he has really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I understand that, you know, he's doing great things at a Premier League and stuff like that, you know, and this is that. But, I mean, if he's not showing to you in National League, I mean, it's one thing to play for club and it's another thing to play at a national team, you know. And you got to go with the guy who's showing you the most and who gives you the most at that level, whichever level you're talking about.
And, yeah, I don't think it's cut and dried. You know, everybody wants it to be cut and dried. It's based on your performance at club. I don't know if that necessarily. There's exceptions to that rule. Let's just say that, because there are guys that you know deliver for the national team and do it consistently.
Yeah.
And you might play even if they're not in the best of form for their club team. So I there's always exceptions to the rule, and those are the tough decisions that coaches have to make, right? Because on one hand be telling everybody that, look, it's based on your club performance, and on another hand, if somebody's going to get the job better done in this game that hasn't been performing as well for his club, and he has a history of doing that when putting on the national team jersey, that guy plays.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, you can take that into account. I mean, for example, you take the kid in Argentina who played for Argentina yesterday in front of Huing, Prado, I think his name was.
Prado,
I mean,
scored
Duke,
too.
Yeah, the dude comes out of nowhere. I mean, you know, you got two center forwards and Aguero and Huing, who are world class and everything. This is nine, and the new coach decides to go with this other guy, you know, who for the most part nobody's heard of, you know. And, you know, he comes out big. But going back into the U.S. fold of things, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, you're doing good for your club. But, I mean, then you take somebody like Sasha, who's an MVP candidate in MLS and did really well for New York Red Bull, and you bench him, you know. And you don't even bring him in on the second half as one of your first replacements and nothing like that to get some more control of the ball, more handles. You know, this guy had – what was it, 20 assists in the Major League Soccer this year? I mean, you know, this guy knows how to create plays.
Well, the game was screaming out for somebody who could put a foot on the ball and control the thing, and I don't think there's any question. That's one that probably you should have seen earlier when you were struggling. Listen, we're up on a heartbreak, Mark. Thank you very much. We do appreciate your comments. We're going to continue to get to all of you callers. Again, the number is 713-780-3776. That's the number to call in, 713-780-3776. Quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm will work for you. DaspitLaw.com. Call them at 713-322-HURT. And take the Beastie Boys to break here. Take more phone calls at 713-780-3776 when we return. I'm losing my mind. That's right, said I'm losing my mind.
is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're bringing you back with Joy Wave here. We do need a little bit of joy. Number to call in. Want your opinion tonight. U.S. 4-0 loss in Costa Rica. They've lost their first two games of the Hex. They've got eight games to go. They need probably around 15 points. To make sure that they're heading to the World Cup in Russia in 2018. 713-780-3776. Going to get to Howard, Chad. We're going to keep the phone calls rolling here. Quick word here for Liberty Kitchen, just to remind you that I'm very passionate about great food and my friends over at the Liberty Kitchen. They know how to serve it up, whether it's lunch, supper, brunch, doesn't matter. Think of it as modern American comfort food. They're classics taken up several notches. It's big flavor served at a neighborhood social. They've got farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen puts their stamp on. They claim it. They own it. Liberty Kitchen staples are the deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo. It's making me hungry right now. Oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers. They've got all kinds of grilled chops and steaks, ribs and fish. Round out the menu. Weekday specials, signature cocktails, and cold beer on tap. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. It's lunch, supper, and brunch at Liberty Kitchen. You stop by. They got locations in the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and now the Treehouse in Memorial City. And also, real quick, a big thanks to Bud Light. Now, Bud Light has always supported my Soccer Matters show many, many years now. Get out, drink a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light are longtime sponsors of soccer, of football, your sport, the global sport, on the radio. Bud Light is American grown and imported for the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston. Like Bud Light Houston on Facebook or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. All right, 713-780-3776. We continue on with your opinion. The reason I created this show on the radio in Houston is because people have a voice in soccer and we want you to speak out. So let's get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Howard. Howard, what do you have tonight here? Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, sir.
All right. My point or my opinion is player development. It's been a problem in the country since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
My main concern is that the kids are being taught soccer by people who don't know soccer. This is a football country. Soccer is a game where anybody, once you learn the game, you're just as good as the coach. And if you don't learn the game, you can't play the game. So your coach is only good as your players. If your players understand the game, the coach is going to look great because whoever he puts in is going to play.
Yeah, so I would be careful, though. I would be careful, Howard, not to paint everybody with the same brush because there's an awful lot of good soccer coaches in this country that are working at the youth level. I think the bigger problem is the amount of money that's involved in this, and I think it does compromise some of the coaches sometimes. It's also a varying degree of investment by the Major League Soccer teams when it comes to how serious they're taking the player development right now. You got some teams in this league who haven't produced a player yet. You have others that are ahead of the game like Dallas and New York.
And
so
that's what I'm saying about player development. If you don't develop the people to understand the game, it's irrelevant who you put in there. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, you can't start a youth development program and then not have an investment and resources put aside to hire the best coaches to work with these kids.
Okay, how about a poor country like Costa Rica? Why are they so much better yesterday?
Yesterday?
Or all
I think there's a lot of reasons. But, well,
compared to us.
I think what you're doing is basically showing us the difference. And the difference is in those countries you have one sport. Here we've got three traditional sports that are very ingrained in the American public.
Exactly. And soccer is a game that's basically the players have to know the game. They have to know the game inside and out. and a striker can go back and defend. A defender can go up and strike at times. And if the game isn't taught at that basic level to where you're a soccer player, you're not a defender, you're not an offensive player, you're a soccer player. And I blame it on the clubs, just as you're saying. The club system is completely different here than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and you have to, and what happens is a lot of these excellent coaches, by the way, end up catering to these kids. There's a feeling of entitlement, and they get away from really teaching a kid how to be a right back, because there's such an emphasis on recruiting. So I think you're hitting a vein that we're all pretty much fully aware of, but it is one that has not been solved. I don't think there's any question, and I appreciate that, Howard. Howard, I want to move it on, and I appreciate your call. But you bringing up player development is a huge piece of what happened yesterday in Costa Rica, no question. Good stuff there from Howard. Let's go to Chad. Chad, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, love your show. I haven't talked to you in a while, but hey, wanted to just bring up a couple things here. So first of all, Jurgen Klinsmann right now should be fired, okay? So I know, you know, I think...
Do you think it'll happen,
you know,
Chad?
Galati said...
You think it'll happen?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think Galati said that, you know, nobody's ever been fired in the middle of the hex, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this team has underperformed, I mean, all the time during qualifying. Embarrassment in the Gold Cup. Didn't qualify for Confederation Cup. I mean, that was unbelievable. I was watching ESPN, the replay today, just on national news, and seeing the embarrassment of that whole game was unbelievable. And, yeah, is it on the players? Definitely. The players didn't come to perform. But the U.S. has always been a team that fights, right? Even if they play bad, they're going to fight. That team wasn't fighting.
Oh, they were they were defanged. Defanged.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they look lost. They don't look hungry. They don't look like they believe in the coach. They've lost. Anyway, what's happened is it reminds me, I think it was 98, right, when Samson lost that whole World Cup team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks the same way. And I'm telling you, I know they've got a chance. I mean, with how they've got an easy chance to be able to still qualify. It's going to be really hard. But this team will not do anything, I mean, in Russia or anything, even if they qualify. And it's going to be hard. I don't think the players are going to come fight for Klinsmann. Yeah, they're going to fight for prize to the U.S. and things like that.
So, Chad, you're bringing up a good point here,
and
I'm going to put this out to everybody, and you can call in here at 713-780-3776. Do you make a change now and not prolong what you see as a problem here? Because I'm hearing all the pundits today saying, look, it doesn't matter because the U.S. is going to qualify anyway. But they're bringing up the same point that is that healthy for U.S. soccer at this point? Or would it be better off that we make a coaching change now, try and begin to right the ship, and then go in with maybe a little bit more vision and a brighter future with a new manager?
Yeah, it's a great question. And Glenn, in the business world, when you have a problem and you know you've got to fix it, this guy was supposed to be the visionary that came in, right? And it was a big mistake for Galati to give him two cycles of this thing. It's gotten stale. He doesn't understand from a tactical perspective a lot of things to me. I think you make the change now. You cut it off now because we're going to continue to hemorrhage, and it's going to be bad. And it's almost like, you know, I think I wrote to you today. It's like you almost like to see this team just, if they keep Klinsmann, almost fail in a sense. You know, it just fail all the way so that, you know, they replace everybody, including Galati and the rest of them. Because you think about it, Klinsmann was in charge when he came in. He was supposed to do everything from player development.
Well, he set the bar real high. There's a lot of word out there that Jay Berhalter with the U.S. Soccer Federation is handling the youth side of it. A lot of big bar raising, and you know, he's pretty slick with the media, but I think Jurgen's act has grown a little old here based on the performance of the team and progress, and people aren't really seeing it. You had a little uptick during the Copa Centenario, but then you got blown out by Argentina and really weren't able to compete that day. Look, you take a Clint Dempsey and a Jeff Cameron out of this team, it's a different team. But then that speaks to how are we not a deeper team right now? I mean, after all of this, I look at us in Mexico and I go, Mexico can field two teams. It's incredible, the lack of depth.
Exactly. We're not deep, everything else. So, hey, that's my opinion. I think we should definitely just get rid of the problem right now. I think Klinsmann is it. Yeah, the players need to look inside themselves in this qualification. It's going to be a rough road, but just do it now. And to me, I'd put Bruce Arena in there, somebody that's kind of proven. Yeah, he gets you there in a sense. I don't think he put somebody brand new in the cycle for 4 months, right? At least a guy that knows the program, knows the U.S. system, can probably right the ship to a certain extent, and then just go from there. So I appreciate you taking my opinion, Glenn.
All right. Thank you, Chad. Some good stuff there from Chad. 713-780-3776. We want to hear from you. Should Klinsmann go? You just heard Chad mention Bruce Arena, and there was, I think, something on social media out of Washington from Stephen Goff, who writes for the Washington Post, and he's a very reliable source. Linking the U.S. job to Bruce Arena. Would you want Bruce Arena back? 713-780-3776 is the number. Or do you go and try and get Oscar Pereja of FC Dallas? Who would you want to be the manager of the U.S.? But first and foremost, should Klinsmann go in your mind? 713-780-3776 is the number. Mexico fans, your thoughts on Juan Carlos Osorio as well. Got the huge win over the U.S. in Columbus, Ohio. We haven't even talked about that because we're so focused on the beatdown that took place in Costa Rica. Let's go to Rui. Rui, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Glenn. This is Rui.
Hi, Rui.
Big fan of your show. Just want to talk a little bit about U.S. game last night, and I echo everything that everyone's saying about Jurgen Klinsmann. He's got to go. I mean, they've given him too many chances. I mean, we need to take a page out of all these other countries, like Brazil, underperforming the World Cup, and the first thing they did, the coach was gone. It brought new life, new attitude, new philosophy, and now they're winning. So, watching the game yesterday, and it's not even about the players that he put on the field. Is about the attitude of the players and the lack of performance. Even in the first goal, I mean, we lose the ball in the midfield, three or four passes, it went down to the left side, to the right side, and nobody, Timmy Chandler's way ahead, no one is, even when Omar Gonzalez was challenging the play, he's jogging to the ball. So I think he needs to go. He needs to go. And somebody bring somebody else with new attitude, new philosophy.
Who would that be for you, Rui? Do you have an idea? You got a candidate to put forward?
I can't think of anyone right now, but I'm pretty sure that we talked about Bruce Arenas. I mean, he's proven that he can coach this team and he can do better. But it's almost like you need to look outside the box. Go. Get someone that has done this before, a champion, and bring to the team. I mean,
well, Bruce Arena's done this before. Bruce Arena's taken us to the best ever results we've ever had in a World Cup.
I know. That's why I mentioned his name, and he's done an amazing job with the Galaxy right now. So,
well, I wouldn't know if I wouldn't say it was amazing this year. I mean, they got in the playoffs, but. Yeah, I mean, over his tenure there. Yes, I got you.
Right. If you look at his record, the entire time he's been there, I mean, guy has done good there. But
no question, he's coaching legend.
My point is, why do we keep giving Jurgen Klinsmann this chance? We have nothing to show for.
Rui, you know what's stunning to me? He was given a contract before the World Cup. I couldn't believe that. Given a contract extension before the World Cup. I don't think that was great business. I think that put him in a comfort zone. I think he's overthought everything. I don't know if he's related to the American soccer player as well as we all would have thought he would have. I don't think he's defined roles. He hasn't defined a purpose of play. It's been a constant I think the players don't know what to expect next, you know? I mean, they might think a marching band's going to come in the locker room. I don't know. It does seem very confusing and overthought.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Rui, I got to hit a break here, buddy. Thank you very much for calling into the show. Again, we remind you, thanks to Rui there. Some great commentary coming in from everybody. Let's keep it going. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. All right, so NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th is the semis, the 11th is the final. This is college soccer at its best for a national title. It's in Houston. You get the tickets at NCAA.com. Now, look, this is grassroots. We're trying to put people in the stands at BBVA Compass Stadium on the local organizing committee. We've got a meeting tomorrow. There's not a lot of resources, so we need this to be an organic effort. We will be on national TV. We want to be on national TV showing the rest of the nation that we are a soccer town, even when it comes to the NCAA Men's College Cup. It's going to be exciting. Everybody who's involved in the youth game as coaches, if you're not pushing your kids to go out there, I don't think you're doing your job, frankly. And if you're parents, you should be asking your coaches to have those nights off so that you can stick your kids in front of this, because after all, that's the level that's being preached to them that you're trying to get to. Same goes for high school coaches. Same goes for adult leagues, Houston Football Association, STISA, everybody. Let's get behind this. Let's get some people there and be real proud of it. The game will be on ESPN and national television. King's Court is at 903 Hutchins. It's right by the south side of the stadium in downtown Houston. Excellent pub. Watch the U.S.-Mexico game there. It's 903 Hutchins in Edo, corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs at King's Court. They show the EPL, all the best soccer matches, NFL Sunday Ticket, 24 taps, full bar with an extensive selection of spirits, excellent Indian food and British cuisine. They've got a rooftop patio that's awesome for sipping a beer and looking at that beautiful thing called BBVA Compass Stadium. It's a real soccer pub feel. Say hello to Jay down there. It's King's Court. We'll take a 7-Up. We'll take a Bud Light break. We got more to come here. 713-780-3776 is the number. Marcelo Balboa, former U.S. international, coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
It's not about blaming now anybody of the players. You know, it's about taking it, swallow it, you know, taking responsibility, which I do, find a way to get that corrected. At the end of the day, I said to the team that it won't be the last 4-0 defeat in their career. We'll get here and there some lessons, definitely it's a bitter moment because we wanted to do far, far better than what we did.
It solicited a lot of reaction and emotion around the country. I don't think there's any question. We come back with Duran White Lines. Quick word here for Bud Light. A big thank you to Bud Light. Listen, as long as I've been doing radio in Houston, Bud Light have been longtime sponsors of me and Soccer Matters. I mean, they got behind me way before anybody was doing any soccer on the radio down here. So I have a big debt to Bud Light, and I thank them for their support over the years. So get out. Get a smooth, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light are, again, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters and soccer and football in this city. Your sport, the global sport, it's American-grown and imported. For the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston, go to Facebook and like Bud Light Houston or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. And with that, Bud Light brings us former U.S. international. He's also seen on Univision, also the Colorado Rapids analyst, and we spent 6 years together doing a national MLS Game of the Week on HDNet. He's Marcelo Balboa. Marcelo, thank you for coming on.
Glenn, buddy, I don't think you know it either, but I think I sponsor Bud Light, so
got,
we're good.
You got Bud Light out there, too. Bud Light's the best. They love soccer. Open a crisp, clean, clear Bud Light right now. Bud Light, raise one right now, Marcelo.
I would, but I'm driving.
We don't condone drinking and driving.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I guess we know what's going on. You and I had a little conversation earlier today about what went down in Costa Rica last night. So let's just start off by getting some of your general impressions, because I've sat around all day, like you have probably, and listened to everything coming in from all the pundits prior to my show here. Your thoughts on the Klinsmann situation, the U.S. World Cup qualifying situation?
I guess I'll start off with shock. I'm in shock. So I heard somebody the other day say, I kind of figured they were going to lose 3-1, 4-0. That's a lie. I don't think anybody thought that the U.S. was going to lose like they did last night. I thought, it's difficult already in Costa Rica. I thought maybe 1-0, 2-1. So I'd have to say I think that a little bit of a surprise and a shock also on both sides. I think the Jurgen and the system against Mexico, and the players seemed a little lost. And then again, I think you got to go back. I think you got to blame some of the players too. I think you have to point fingers sometimes at players to wake them up a little bit. I didn't feel that Michael Bradley took this team. I'm the captain. I'm going to lead this team, and I'm going to lead the way. I didn't feel that yesterday. I felt like it was almost like they were defeated already. It was a weird feeling to watch that game.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a great way of putting it, defeated. It did. And, as poor as they were, they're still 25 minutes into the game, and you're kind of going, okay, you can still find your game here. This could be winnable if all of a sudden something could click here, and it never did. But Michael Bradley over two games, like a lot of players, was subpar at best. He did come out after the U.S.-Mexico game, and he did make a statement that, normally you don't hear players say about teams because it could be a little bit of an indictment on the coach. He said one team had a clear plan, another didn't. I don't think it's that harmful, but what do you read into a comment like that?
I think it's very harmful. I think that was directed straight at Jurgen Klinsmann. I think the players, I'm going to guess, being a former player, when you say a comment like that, you were confused. You didn't like the system. You played three in the back. He looked lost in the first half. And I'll be honest, I know when I've played in games like that, sometimes when you're not 100% sure of what you're supposed to do, you have a tendency to take a step back and kind of sit in the zone and not step up and push up. And I remember watching the press conference and Jurgen Klinsmann, the first half, Bradley and Jermaine Jones didn't step up to put pressure. So I get that because you weren't sure of the system, but the second half they came out, they played well, they had their opportunities. So I was expecting the second half USA against Costa Rica, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Michael Bradley yesterday after the game moved off his position a little bit, saying it was not right to point fingers, but they were stretched out all over the place. Is that the problem with Jurgen Klinsmann, not defining roles for players and not really having a stable purpose of play to build off of?
That's a great question, because when we went into Copa America, everybody was happy because we reached the semifinal. Everything looked pretty defined in their roles. I think there was a few things, Glenn. I think one, I think not having Jeff Cameron was a huge blow to the United States.
Agree 100%.
Huge blow to the United States. I think. That's my opinion. Number two, I didn't think Timmy Chandler played well. He didn't give him an outlet. He didn't defend well. And that was a big problem on that part. Number three, if you go back, I never felt that Josie Altidore was let free to let roam and to do what he does with Toronto. I almost felt like he was held back to drop into that 10 roll deep. So teams couldn't, especially the Mexico game, the second half, so Mexico couldn't play out of the back. and you never really saw him let loose and go forward like we're seeing with Toronto.
Yeah, those are two great points. I'm going to go back to Cameron because I think Cameron's an interesting story, because I think this is another example of Jurgen Klinsmann, and that is, look how long it took for him to figure out he was the best center back for the United States.
Yeah.
Dinking around with him, playing him at right back, back in the middle. He's clearly, at the international level, our best center back because nobody moves laterally like him to cover others. So that's an example of one of many, I think, that we could make with Klinsmann. And I think you point out the absence of Cameron is without a doubt a big miss. And I think the U.S. doesn't get as much of the ball when Clint Dempsey's not out there because he can hold you the ball.
Yeah, you know, that's one that I think if you look at what the U.S. does, he's creative. He's dangerous. You're always keeping an eye on him. And the U.S. doesn't have that. I think Bobby Woods is a very good player, and I thought he was one of the best players. Him and Pulisic were the best two players on the field against Mexico. But I just think that, and here's the other side of it, losing to Mexico takes a lot out of you emotionally. I get that. But I was a little brought back by the effort that was thrown out there. It was almost like they put their hands up after the second goal, and there was no response. That worries me because of the fact that 2-0, you're still in a game. You know what I mean? So the fact that you see them kind of, they didn't put their heads down, but it was almost like, here it is, 2-0, and they never really responded. So that is something I haven't seen in the U.S. team in a long time.
Yeah, that was disturbing. So that's indicative of what? A manager that's lost his locker room?
I don't know if he's lost his locker room. Listen, for all the things people want to say, Jurgen's done a good job, and it's a very difficult job to have two cycles with the same players. I think sometimes players just don't respond. I don't know if he lost the locker room, but if you lose one or two key individuals, if you lose Michael Bradley, if you lose Josie Altidore, and you lose in your locker room a Tim Howard, you could be in trouble. You could be in deep trouble.
Yeah. Do you think he's lost those three? Take him on a case-by-case basis. Marcelo Balboa joining us.
You know, I don't know if he's lost the locker room. I'm not that close. I don't see it. You know, I'm not there every day, day in and day out. It's easy to have an opinion from the outside. From an outsider's perspective and being able to watch all the games like you, there's a disconnect right now between Jurgen Klinsmann and his team, I think. Because it didn't look... Listen, I'll ask you this, Glenn. Were you not shocked to see three in the back?
Yeah, I was shocked specifically because of their wide play and just that's not the game to me you would be experimenting in at all. So,
exactly.
Yes, I was.
That was exactly how I went. I thought to myself, I saw Matt Beisler because we didn't get the formation. We just got the numbers. We got the 11 players that were going to play. And I looked across to Gonzalo, and he looked at me, and I said the same thing. Matt Beisler's playing. And then we thought to ourselves, oh, my God, they're going to play three in the back. And it really threw me for a loop because I've never seen that under Jurgen Klinsmann. So I think in a big game, in my opinion, I'm just starting to coach, Glenn. Mm-hmm. But, man, in a big game, I don't think I would ever switch the lineup unless I'm down 1-0, there's 10 minutes to go, then I'm going to 3-4-3, and I'm going to go after a tie. To start the game off, woof.
Yeah. Is it ego, Marcelo? Because, look, we all know coaches sometimes overthink it. They all sometimes want to be, and this is natural because there is ego involved in all of this, and it's healthy ego that succeeds. But, you know, his thought is what? I'm playing with three backs. I'm going to confront Mexico in midfield where they're strong and where we do have to win the middle third with four, and then I'm going to give a free roll to Christian Pulisic. That's probably what he was thinking because he didn't mention it was about giving Pulisic a free roll. But again, crazy time to do it.
I again, in my opinion only, and don't get me wrong, I know Jurgen Klinsmann. I respect the hell out of him, and but it just surprised me because even when they defended, you saw Pulisic coming inside, and it was easy for Mexico to go to the outside. It was wide open the whole night.
Yeah, it was a disaster. And then they change it and just stand four in a row at the back and things get better.
You know, I, again, you look at certain games, and there's certain games you can try different things. I'm a firm believer that what's been working during Copa America, you stick to. And I get Cameron's a big absence, and Tim Howard going down against Mexico was a big thing.
Yeah.
But I really think Timmy Chandler is the guy who really just did not have a good game these last two games. And it really showed. And listen, here's the other part. And let's be honest, we have responsibilities as players. Because I'm not, listen, this isn't just on your Klinsmann. This is on the players, too.
Sure. You can play in spite of a coach, right?
You have a set piece. Yeah, everybody wants, it's easy to blame the coach. Because you can get rid of one coach instead of five players. But there's a set piece. In the locker room before the game, everybody has their set piece. How does Rafa Márquez get free between Brooks and Jozy Altidore to get that goal? That's a good question there.
Yeah, that was so hurtful. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a guy's running towards a whipped in piece of delivery, you go with him and you lean in on him. I mean, at that stage of the game, come on. And Jozy was totally flat-footed right before the corner was taken.
It hurts me, and I'm an ex-player, and it hurts me to lose to Mexico, and I don't even play.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's that's a good thing, though. You know what? I do think what is good that's come out of this is there are a lot of people that are emotional and fired up about it. So what would you do next? U.S. soccer. What do you do next, Marcelo? Do you cut your losses with Klinsmann now? What do you do?
You know, here's what I do, and this is just me, Glenn. If I'm Sunil Gulati, I bring in the key players. I go and talk to Michael Bradley away from everybody. I go talk to Jozy Altidore. I talk to Tim Howard. I talk to, you know, there's a core of group players. You sit them down and you talk to them and you see how they feel, what's going on, and you get a pulse for that, what's going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. So I think it's very important to get the feedback of the guys with a lot of experience. And then maybe you go and talk to maybe one younger guy, two younger guys. But I think you got to get the feel of two or three guys and see where this team is leaning.
Are you disturbed about the lack of depth? Because, look, we don't have Cameron. We don't have Clint Dempsey. And boy, you know, never have you said, boy, do we miss those guys.
Yeah, I am a little concerned. I think that you're lacking that experience, that creativity. You know, you got a guy like Landon Donovan, and we've had eras from Tab Ramos. You can move on to Claudio Reyna. From Claudio Reyna, you can move on. You can just keep going, Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, and that's the question. You don't have that guy that can change a game plan. I think Pulisic has a fantastic future, and I think he's going to be a star down the road, but he's not that guy right now that you can lean on and say, this guy can carry us in one game. Landon Donovan could, Dempsey could, Claudio Reyna, Tev Ramos, they all could. Pulisic's not there yet, and Dempsey's don't know if he'll be able to play again. They're missing that one guy that can make a difference.
Marcelo, outstanding stuff. Thank you very much for coming on, and we always appreciate it. We appreciate your insight and the great career that you had. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Buddy, thanks for having me, and congratulations to Wilmer Cabrera. I wish Houston the best of luck next year with Wilmer.
You got it. Thank you, Marcelo. We'll take a
take
break.
Care,
Marcelo Balboa, the former center back for the United States national team. Some good comments right there. Quick word here for the Richmond Arms and the King's Head Pub. Book your party, maybe your soccer watching party at the Richmond Arms. It's a great place to watch your favorite football club. 5920 Richmond Avenue. The sister pub is the King's Head Pub out in the southwest part of Houston on Eldridge. Bar, grub, and beer in an English tavern setting. It is the Richmond Arms. Again, the NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th and 11th. College soccer at its best. Four teams will come to Houston for the national championship. NCAA.com to get your tickets. We have a tremendous history here with college players and supplying them to colleges and universities around the country. NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th, December 11th. We want to fill the stadium. It'll be on national television with ESPN. Get your tickets now. NCAA.com.